Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon, and also hope that you were blessed by Brother Lutz and his program before us. And I know if you stay tuned at 2 o'clock, Pastor Rusnacko will be on, and he'll be a blessing to you as well. But here in the meanwhile, hopefully we'll be a blessing too. And you can call in. We're going to go ahead and open up our telephone lines here today. And you can call in if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Let's open our program today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Pray that you bless the program. Use us for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody today and to help point people to Christ that are searching and help encourage Christians in their walk with you. And again, in all things, that we would uplift and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you again today. What an absolutely gorgeous week this has been. And yesterday, beautiful day, and changed a little bit today, a little bit chillier out there, not quite as warm, and depending on where you're at, quite a bit of wind in places. We fared fairly well at our house, had the power blink this morning for a little bit, but not for long, and nothing really untoward, knocked over, blew over my chairs outside and blew off the lid in one of my trash cans, and I had to walk around trying to find it in the yard. But other than that, not too bad. So I guess some places, though, had a lot worse, but hopefully you're doing okay where you're at. Still breezy somewhere, some areas. If you're on the highway, keep an eye out for that. But hopefully it looks like spring is coming. We've got daffodils springing up at our house, and we've got some crocuses blooming. And I noticed our lilac bush, the little leaves are starting to poke out already. And the spring peepers, I started hearing them, I think it was on the weekend or last Friday, somewhere in that time range. And so they're starting up. And all the signs of spring are just all around us out there. And so I hope that we'll have a nice springtime without any sudden surprises there. I saw the long-range forecast. We're supposed to be down in the 30s for a high come up next Thursday, I think, or something like that. Hopefully that'll change. But at any rate, can't complain. It's not been a bad winter. March has not been a bad March. Really hasn't. Usually we get a big snowstorm in March and haven't seen that. So April is on its way this coming Sunday, Palm Sunday. And I hope you'll be able to be in church celebrating what is called the Passion Week. And that runs from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, also known as Resurrection Sunday. We'll be talking about that word next week, probably a little bit, or on the program next week, talking about Easter and whether or not you should use that word in reference to the resurrection of Christ. And if so, why? And so we'll be talking about that. But today, we're going to look at a couple of things here in the Bible. And also, if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find some of our previous programs there. You can listen to them. You can also see a number of other things there that we have, materials that are available there, some comments and things on different things, all at livewithpastoral.com. Also some articles and things that I've written in the past, and trying to get back into doing some more of that. In fact, I'm currently working on an article in where the name Easter comes from and why it's used in the King James Version of the Bible in Acts chapter 12, I believe it is verse 4, but we'll save that for next week. This week, however, I wanted to call your attention to some things that took place leading up to the crucifixion of Christ. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and we celebrate this on Palm Sunday, and many churches, of course, will have palm fronds available on Sunday, and they do different things. I remember my wife and I, when we were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, of course, we were in the tropics. We were 13 degrees below the equator there in the South Pacific, and so Palm Sunday, we had no shortage of palm fronds. Usually it was coconut fronds that were used mostly, but we had no shortage of fronds, and they would lace them about the pillars and posts around the church building, and they'd have it in other places, and people would carry some of them, and they would even reenact somewhat some of the different things, but during the Passion Week, of course, they would reenact some of those things. And I remember one village, they always carried the cross down the street with some people dressed as Roman soldiers and different things like that. But when we think of Palm Sunday, and we think of Jesus entering into Jerusalem, in Mark chapter 11, it talks about him preparing to go in, and the various Gospels give different bits of information about it. And of course, we're familiar with the story. He rode in on the back of a donkey, and it was a borrowed donkey, which is always an interesting thing in and of itself, how God set that up. And as they went in, people threw their coats down on the ground, and they spread palm fronds down on the ground. And essentially, they were welcoming him as a coming king. In fact, here in Mark chapter 11 and verse number 9, it says, "And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when they said, "Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord," they were recognizing and welcoming Jesus, expecting him to come and set up a kingdom. Now, of course, we understand that Jesus first had to suffer and die on the cross before he could set up his kingdom. But this offer, or this presentation maybe is a better sense, this presentation of Jesus as the coming king had to be made first of all. And when we look back in the book of Daniel, the Old Testament prophet of Daniel here in Daniel chapter 9, where Daniel writes about a prophetic passage regarding the future of Israel and Jerusalem, the Jewish people, and how that God was going to bring everything to completion and then usher in the Messiah as the king to rule over the earth. It says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most High. Now, this 70 weeks obviously were not weeks of days, they were weeks of years. What we would consider a day was actually a year. And so it was 70 weeks of years here instead of 70 weeks of days. 70 heptads would be the technical term, I guess you could say. And it says in verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined." Now, this is what took place at the entry of Christ into Jerusalem where he talks about in verse 25, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. This is the time score and 62 weeks. So this brings us up to the 69 weeks that we have out of the 70. And this is the time when Jesus came in. Now, I'm not going to get into the calculations and all of that, but people have calculated and shown that the Jewish people, certainly the Pharisees and the priests and the scribes and things, people who studied the scriptures should have known that day, that Sunday, that was the day that was prophesied that the Messiah would enter into Jerusalem. And then, of course, after he enters into Jerusalem, he's cut off, the Bible says. He's cut off, but not for himself. Jesus, after entering and being welcomed as the Son of David coming to set up the kingdom of David, then a few short days later, he's cut off and he's crucified, but not for himself. He's crucified for us, for our sins, not for his. He had no sin. But as we look at this, the Bible says here back in Mark chapter 11, and when he comes in, there's certain things that are given, because he goes into Jerusalem, then he returns to Bethany, and he goes back to Jerusalem several times over the next few days. And it says here in Mark chapter 11, verse 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So he's returned to Bethany where they spend the night. And then it says in verse 12, and on the morrow, that's the next morning, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, I remember looking at this, wondering why Jesus would expect figs on a tree when it wasn't yet the time of figs. And then even more in verse 14, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee thereafter or hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So why would he curse the fig tree? In fact, further down in the chapter, in verse number 20, this is the next day, they went back to Bethany. The next day, it says in verse 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And he teaches on prayer and faith here, but when you look at this, and this is something that we miss oftentimes when we think about the events of the Passion Week, the time from Jesus' entry into Jerusalem before his death, burial, and resurrection, the fig tree itself. Again, I come back to the question, why did Jesus, as God in the flesh, who's omniscient, he knows all things, why was he expecting or looking at the fig tree and then cursing the fig tree for not having figs when it wasn't yet the time of figs for the fruit to be there? And when we look at this, this coincides with Jesus entering into Jerusalem. And when we realize that when he entered in, it wasn't yet time for him to be anointed as king. It was not yet time for him to set up his kingdom on earth. In fact, it wasn't time for Jerusalem and Israel, the Jewish people, to take their part in the messianic kingdom. Instead, when Jesus went into Jerusalem, he looked around in the temple, And later on, we see here in Mark chapter 11, the next day he had left, he went back to Bethany, comes the next day, and this is when the cleansing of the temple takes place. You look at some of the other Gospels, it almost looks like it happened the same day when he got there, but it's actually the next day. It says that in verse 15, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and drove the seats of them, or and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. See, he went into Jerusalem, if haply, meaning if the good fortune that he would find people that were bearing fruit, that he would find that the Jewish nation had borne fruit. The fig tree, you see, is a picture, an illustration of the nation of Israel, the Jewish nation. And it was not yet time for it to bear fruit, just like the fig tree along the road. And it provided a tremendous object lesson for the disciples and for us as well when we read this. When Jesus went in, it would have been great if he found fruit, but he found no fruit. Instead, as he said, they had made his house, instead of a house of prayer, they had made it the den of thieves. And so he rebuked them for that. The Jewish people then rejected him because it says in verse 18, and the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Of course, in the other Gospels, I believe Matthew in particular, in Matthew chapter 21, talks about how they consulted together that they needed to find a way to get rid of him. They were afraid of what he might do. And so the nation of Israel that should have borne fruit, they should have been recognizing that the Messiah had come. They should have made the temple into a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. The scribes and the chief priests should have recognized who Jesus was and welcomed him as the Messiah. But it wasn't yet the time for fruit. And so Israel, in turn, was cut off, just as they cut off Jesus, their Messiah, and had him crucified. Israel, of course, was cut off, and then it bore no fruit. And so for nearly 2,000 years, Israel languished. The Jewish nation was cut off until 1948. And this is something that's interesting. When we go over to Luke chapter 21, we see the fig tree featured yet again in the scripture as an indication of what's going to happen to Israel. It was cut off, it's bore no fruit. And then in Luke chapter 21, and Jesus is talking and giving signs preceding the end, things that will lead up to the tribulation period, things that will take place during the tribulation period. And he says this in verse number 29, and he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. And of course, Mark wrote about that in chapter 13, but he doesn't go into as much detail as Luke does here. But he says, Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. What is he saying there? Well, remember, the fig tree is national Israel. It's Israel, the nation. And what we see happening here is that Israel is, the leaves are going to shoot forth. The fig tree is going to put forth leaves once more. And then it will be time for it to bear fruit, of course, here in prediction here. Let me just read Mark chapter 13, verse 28, just to give you another rendition of it. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth her leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. When we look at this, we see this idea that this generation, those that see this take place, they're going to see Israel come back as a nation, and then they're going to see the fig tree bear fruit. That fruit, I believe, will be the arrival of the Messiah to set up his kingdom on earth. Well, what do we make of it as the generation? This generation shall not pass, as Mark puts it, or as Luke puts it, where he talks about the generation shall not pass away, the generation being that sees these things take place. And, you know, the Bible indicates in Psalms, and I don't have time to go back there, that the lifespan of man is 70, which is 70 years, a score being 20, so 3 times 20 is 60 plus 10, 70 years, or by strength, 80, which would be 80 years. If we take that as a generation, this is something I find interesting. I am not setting a date for the Lord's return. I am not saying that this is going to happen. This is just purely a speculative thing. If we apply that to 1948, when the fig tree began to put forth its leaves, Israel became a nation again. And as Luke said, the other trees, they again were putting forth leaves. They were becoming nations. Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, what is the nation of Iraq today, and others all became nations, sovereign nations. Many of them were under colonial powers. Many of them were under the Turkish Ottoman Empire at different times. They became independent sovereign nations in the mid-20th century, around the same general time frame of Israel becoming a nation. The trees, you know, we have the oak of Bashan representing, of course, Syria, and the cedars of Lebanon representing, of course, Lebanon. So we see the trees, these nations becoming sovereign nations. Well, what happens if we add 70 or 80 years to 1948? Well, that gives you a time range of 2019 to 2028. And you say, well, okay, we're past 2019. 2028's a little ways off yet, but you have to subtract the 7 years, because remember, Daniel chapter 9 had the last week, the last 7 years. That's the 7 years of the tribulation period, because at the end of the 70 years, the nation would be there, and Jesus would become ruler over not only Israel, but over the world. So if we subtract 7 years from those two dates of 2019 and to 2029, what we're seeing there then is the time frame of 2011 to 2021. Does that mean the Lord's got to come back this year? Absolutely not, because this is just an assumption that that's what the generation means. Obviously, the generation is not 40 years, as some have speculated in the past. We're long past that time frame. It could be something simple as people who were alive in 1948 to see Israel become a sovereign nation will be alive when Jesus returns to set up his kingdom on earth. We don't know, but even if that's the case, if you said somebody was born and they lived to be 100 years old, well, it still limits us to 2041 after you take away the 7 there from 2048. What I'm saying is we know that we are in the latter days based on these prophecies. We don't know exactly when, but he says, so likewise ye, When ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Friends, this is the time to be sure of your salvation. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is the time to make sure about the claims of Christ. Is he the Messiah? Did he die on the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sins? Was he buried and did he raise again bodily, victorious over sin and death on the third day? If that's true, then you need to put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've done that, then be encouraged. Look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thanks for listening. Have a great Palm Sunday. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.